Get ready for Ready Radio with Doug and Amy. It's emergency preparedness for everyone. Brought to you by TruPrep. For all your prepping needs, visit TruPrep online at truprep.com or visit a TruPrep store in Roswell or Marietta. Listen in as Doug and Amy provide helpful tips on how to get ready for anything that comes your way. And now, your hosts, Doug and Amy.
Welcome, everybody. You're listening to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy. This week, we're going to be talking a little bit about springtime and gardening. Spring has sprung here in Atlanta after our last two snowstorms, and everybody is ready and able to get out in the nice sunny weather. I heard it's going to hit 70 in a couple of days, Amy.
I know. What's that all about? We were just snowed in. It was crazy.
It is Georgia in the summertime. I'm telling you out there. I see people walking around in t-shirts and shorts and flip-flops, and it's about time to start thinking about planting some organic seeds and maybe, you know, getting your orchard ready and all the things that need to be done in February before we hit the main growing season that's coming up.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I don't think I really have a green thumb, so I have a lot of questions for our guest today.
Yeah, in our second segment today, we've got Mark, who's coming in. He is an amateur gardener who enjoys planting. He is very knowledgeable about seeds, and I heard that he was the gentleman who actually was put in charge of TruPrep seed catalog this year. So he's going to be able to talk about what all they're doing to get everybody ready and what seeds they have available and what varieties grow down here and why we should select those seeds versus, you know, things that you can get maybe at Home Depot or Lowe's.
Yeah, that's exciting. And for our listeners, we are Ready Radio, basically. If this is the first time listening, we are all about emergency preparedness. And there's a bunch of different levels. And one of the levels would be, like homesteading and growing your own food.
And, you know, people who are thinking about, you know, what they saw on TV, like Doomsday Preppers or shows like that, they think of people who are hoarding canned goods or who are, you know, putting up all sorts of gas masks. But being prepared is a much broader topic than any of that. We're talking about creating a lifestyle, a simpler, more basic lifestyle that's sustainable even in the event of a disaster, but that provides quality of life no matter when you're practicing it. So if you have your own garden, if you're growing your own food, if you're canning your food, putting it away for the winter, if that'll not only decrease the amount of you're spending on food, it'll also give you quality control over your food because you're making sure that there are no artificial preservatives and you're controlling the growing process for chemicals. And on top of that, it gives you the satisfaction of knowing that this is something that you've done yourself.
Yeah, that's a great point because it's not just about emergency preparedness. There are so many benefits for growing and canning your own foods.
And even in, you know, our broader topic of emergency preparedness, when disaster strikes, knowing that you've got your, you know, jams and jellies stored up, that you've got some canned pickles, you've got, you know, some beets, you've got some green beans and corn on the cob that's been put away that you've grown yourself, all these things just gives you a little bit more peace of mind that you have, you know, good quality food. And instead of paying through the nose for, you know, frozen products or canned foods that have preservatives in them, you have the quality control, you have the assurance that it's been done the right way.
Yeah, not only that, but you have the skills, which is important to me. I mean, there's a learning curve there. And I know last year I had some little seedlings that I was trying to start, and I thought I had a really good organic mix that I bought, you know, and those little things, I mean, I was so excited when they first sprouted, and then they just stopped growing. I still don't know what I did wrong. But, you know, with the learning curve, I mean, I need to practice and make sure that, you know, I'm not in a emergency situation where I'm relying on the skill. I mean, now's the perfect time to, you know, to practice and
too many
learn.
People look at emergency preparedness and say, well, I'll buy this or I'll buy that, and then I'll take and throw it into a closet and not think about it anymore, and when I need it, I'll have it. Well, yes, you may have it, but if you don't know how to use it, what good is it going to do? And you look at all of the people who are buying seeds, and here you've got people who have never gardened before, who've never planted before. They don't know if the seeds are proper for their climate or for their soil. They don't know the right irrigation techniques. There's so many things that go into making sure that this is going to be a worthwhile endeavor. And simply stockpiling a bunch of seeds isn't going to get you through anything. If you don't know how to plant them, if you don't know when to plant them, if you don't know how to do the harvest, if you don't know how to preserve it.
That's right. And not everybody has a mark with them. Yeah. You know, there's some great resources out there, and It's important, you know, to have, I mean, if you don't have that know-how, I mean, you know, Google may not always be there. And just to have some, and I know that True Prep does carry some really great resources also.
Yeah, not only do they have, you know, good books that you can take and read in your own time, but they have a variety of classes. They have classes on what grows here and why. They have classes on container gardening, dirt gardening. They have classes on small livestock and chickens, too. All of which forms, you know, this kind of symbiosis of being able to take care of yourself in the event of a disaster.
Yeah. So let me ask you, Doug, what is your knowledge, I guess, when it comes to gardening? Do you have a green thumb?
Tomatoes. I can make a tomato grow.
Really?
That's really
okay.
About it, though.
That's about it?
Yeah. And I had terrible luck with my raised beds. I had raised beds at one time, and I couldn't get anything done with them.
I wonder why. Did you ever figure out what the problem was?
I have no idea. But when I did containers with the same soil, they seemed to take off and do real well. So we did container gardening of tomatoes, and I had, I think, about 20 pots, each with one large tomato plant. I did a lot of Roma tomatoes. I did some beefsteak and Big Boy. And, of course, mine were hybrid. They were not heirloom seeds, so they didn't reproduce every year, and they were what they were. But I'm sure our guest will talk a little bit about the difference between heirloom seeds and hybrid seeds, as well as what GMO and non-GMO might mean or not mean. But the bigger picture is that, you know, they were easy to grow, and it was something that my family ate. I made sure that every year we would grow tomatoes and we would grow basil. And my plan was to make a caprese salad out of my sad little garden every year.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I actually live with my husband and my daughter. They don't eat tomatoes. So, my goodness. And
pizzas must be very sad at your house.
They are. Well, now they will eat the, you know, cooked tomatoes. So, like with pasta sauces and, you know, salsa and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, oh my gosh, for me, there is nothing like just picking a big juicy tomato right off the vine and eating it right there.
Oh, I was over to Stevie B's on Barrett Parkway with my family yesterday, and they're a pizza buffet, and their new pizza they have out this month is a caprese pizza, where it's large, thick slices of tomato on a thin crust with big discs of real mozzarella cheese laid across the top.
Yummy. That sounds good.
It was really good. And there's, like you said, you know, nice thick slices of tomato, and there's nothing better than having a real tomato that grew in your garden to ripeness. Because a lot of the things that you get in the store, they were harvested before they were really ripe. And they're insipid, and they're tasteless, and they're colorless. And
it's not even the same. Well, what is it, a fruit or a vegetable? What the heck is it?
Tomatoes are fruits.
That's what I've heard. That's just weird to me.
And eggplants are berries, like strawberries.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll go with that.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's
not
the way
in Amy world. I mean, that's just weird to me.
Well, categorically, that's what they are. But what they really are is delicious, and especially when you're growing them yourself, and you're able to, you know, watch the chemicals that are put on them, and make sure that you can send the kids out to pick off those nasty green caterpillar things that attack your tomato plants and throw them off. And
yeah. One of the things, actually. I was kind of upset at my husband for doing, and we'll ask Mark about this, one of my questions that I have, but he actually put some Roundup poison in my garden. I was not real happy about that.
Yeah.
Because, part of it was my fault. I have not been pulling weeds, I guess, like I should be, and things kind of got away, and he was like, hey, I'll fix this.
Well, there you go.
And since he put the Roundup in there, I just won't touch it.
When we had the container gardens, and we had huge problem with those weird caterpillar things, we went with Seven Dust and put that on them to try to keep them back.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, geez. That doesn't sound...
Yeah, it was definitely less organic, but it also had
That's
less...
That's a good way to put it, sure.
Well, maybe it was downright inorganic. I don't know. But they had a lot less of those stupid caterpillars. Yeah, I love, you know, that was one of the things. You always hear people talk about organic food, and it is the opposite of organic food, inorganic food. I don't know.
Well, you know, at least you do know what you're canning. You know that you've got your Seven Dust in your in your jars.
You got
awesome.
It.
Oh, gosh.
Sometimes I washed them, though.
Oh,
once
gosh,
in a while.
I hope so. That is, oh, golly. Well, I tell you what, we do have a... a whole lot to learn from our guest.
Yeah, and I'm really excited about what he can tell us, not only about what's going on in True Prep with their classes and their new seat offerings that they're going to be having out in the next couple of weeks, but also some tips and techniques on how to garden at home and things that are appropriate to be growing here. I've had some of his dried peppers before, and they are phenomenal. I used them to win a chili cook-off a couple of years back, which, speaking of chili cook-offs, True Prep is having a chili cook-off this Saturday, and I want to invite everybody who's in the North Metro area here in Atlanta to swing by Saturday afternoon. They're still taking applications for participants, but they're going to be tasting and offering not only tasting of the chili that's being cooked on premise for the competition, but also they're going to be having a Mountain House freeze-dried food tasting at the same time. So if you swing by between 3 and 5 o'clock, you'll be able to see the judging, taste some of the chili that's made, and see what Mountain House is all about.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, and that kind of answered my question. I was wondering what chili had to do with emergency preparedness, but it sounds like a great social event for people to come out and check out some freeze-dried food and check the store out.
Hey, I'm not going to survive without chili. I know that. it's a staple food. I mean, you've got bread, you've got milk, you've got chili. Isn't that what they run out and buy when the ice storms hit?
Beans?
Yeah, I think you're
or
close.
Or no beans?
That is the question.
And it looks like our guest has arrived here in studio, folks.
Round of applause.
Let's give a big welcome to Mark from True Prep, who is here to talk about canning and gardening.
Welcome, Mark. So glad to have
chili
you.
Chili is a quintessential survivor prepper food because it's so easy to make with ingredients that you can either can or have around. It's wonderful.
So,
it's food of the gods.
I'm going to throw the question back at you, Mark. Beans or no beans?
Beans.
Beans.
Beans for the simple reason that the construct that chili is of Texas is absolutely ludicrous. Chili is southeastern United States, or southwestern United States, where tepary beans are king down there, and whatever was thrown in the stew pot with peppers, beans, and whatever game they had, be it pronghorn, venison, buffalo, rabbit, any of that. It was all chili.
Wow. Yeah, chili is a fantastic item. What I like about it is that it really does bring people together. Everybody has their own recipe. Everybody has their own idea behind what a good chili is, and you can get together and have a real good argument about what makes chili chili, and you can taste everybody's different examples and come together at True Prep and try some freeze-dried food and vote. The newest thing that I heard is that they're now going to have a People's Choice competition, and so you can vote and actually award a prize to the best chili that the people think, aside from the judges. We are coming up on a commercial break, folks. We'd like to thank you all for tuning in. We will be right back in a couple of minutes to talk more about seeds and gardening with Mark. You are listening to News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.
And now, back to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy and our special guest today, Mark. And we had to bring Mark in today, Doug, because, you know, this is this subject that we're talking about today. We're talking about starting seeds and gardening, all of which I'm probably not the go-to guy or girl to answer these questions. And I know you grow tomatoes, but I think there's a little bit more to that.
I think there's a lot more to that. But, you know, as we're looking around outside today, it is gorgeous out. And all week it has been hot and sunny and gorgeous. And the thoughts are no longer on ice storms and all of the garbage we went through a couple weeks ago. I'm looking forward to spring. I want to plant. I am spring cleaning. We are getting the dust out of the corners. We are going to plant some seeds. And Mark, what seeds should I be planting now?
Well, the seeds that we are looking for now are the ones that we have to plant inside and nurture before we can put them out after our date of last frost, which typically for the Kennesaw, True Prep, Marietta area around there is 1st to the 6th of April.
Okay, so we're looking at doing a little container greenhouse gardening up until tax season.
Well, I don't have a greenhouse, so I'm forced to adapt. And what I do to adapt is I get the little plastic greenhouse things that hold the little pellets or the little pots, and I start my seeds dutifully in little rows across there, and I will have my peppers, my tomatoes, predominantly going first because they're up to 10 weeks prior to transport planting. And I will plant probably a dozen different kinds of tomatoes and at least 80 individual pepper plants, from sweet peppers to hot peppers and some of the hottest ones that are possible.
You must have a lot of friends.
I do.
I was going to say, that's a whole lot of food.
Well, the thing about it is I like to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to eat well. And that's always been of paramount import in my family. And there's nothing better than making it the way you want to make it and doing it better than you can get. If you've never had a pickle that you've nurtured the cucumber in your own garden and then taken it inside with your own dill, your own peppers, and made your own wonderful pickles.
and folks, I'm telling you, I've had his pickles. When I lived in Alaska, I asked him to ship me pickles because they were just the most phenomenal pickles on earth. And his fermented pickles are something that will bring tears to your eyes.
Is that a good thing? Okay.
Yeah, I've actually seen Mark. Doesn't he wrap his pickles in baby blankets as he brings them into the house? Just full of love.
Well, pickles are such a lost art, to be honest. Everybody thinks that pickles are this aseptic thing that you get with vinegar in the grocery aisle. And there are so many things that are pickled and fermented, and really it's not the same thing, but it is. Pickling is the large topic. Fermenting is one of the small topics within pickling. But you can pickle wonderful green beans, peppers, all kinds of things from your garden, and you don't lose the nutrition. And some instances you gain the nutrition with a fermented item.
And what's interesting is, you know, the different pickling items that you do get have different textures. Like red bell peppers are fairly soft after a pickling process, but carrots become much more, you know, they're not crunchy like they were originally, but they're a lot more snappy than a cucumber would have been once it's pickled. They have a lot more firmness to them, so they're a really good thing for pickling.
Yeah, and you know, actually, my daughter, she thinks that pickles are the spawn of Satan. So I know there's some people out there who just hate pickles. I love them. I adore them. But she's 15. She's hysterical the way she puts things. But I wanted to kind of back up just a second, Mark, and just ask you kind of quickly. You mentioned we kind of went off on a bunny trail, a yummy bunny trail. But starting the seeds, I wanted to ask you. You mentioned that you don't have the greenhouse and that you start them with the, you know. And I've seen the little discs, I think they're called. Where do you put them after you start them? Are they inside, near a window, or where do you put them?
To be honest, I start them and sit down at my table or my kitchen counter, and I put the warm water in them, expand the little pellets, and wait for them to expand, and then I make sure that they're not overly saturated. Then I sit there with a pencil, and I carefully put two tomato seeds or two pepper seeds in each little pellet. And then when those are growing, I transfer them to larger and larger pots and get them growing well. And then I put the little peat pots in there and put just regular potting soil in. And sometimes it's not uncommon for me to have four or five succeeding generations of flowers, peppers, all manner of garden stuff to put out as a result of the single little inside greenhouse.
So do you have them near a window, or is sun getting to them?
I put them on my living room mantle or on my place where I grow my African violets and orchids. The morning sun is good, doesn't get too hot, and I also have heating pads for some of the more hard to sprout peppers and tomatoes, because some of them require heating in order to sprout, and you just don't have the heat without a greenhouse.
Hmm. That's very interesting. Now, you're doing all of this from seeds. You know, when I would do my tomato plants, I would go get the pre-sprouted things from like Home Depot and just plant them outside. So when you pick your seeds, what are you looking for in a seed?
Well, I was rather disappointed to find out that many of my favorite tomato seeds or plants over the years, especially the Boy series, is a patented hybrid that is actually owned by a company that I just don't think I want to do business with anymore.
Now, when you say a patented hybrid, what do you mean?
Well, trademarks are everything, and the seed companies that started these seeds aren't necessarily the ones that own them. The Boy series is a very famous one. They're very consistent. They're grown over a wide range of climate conditions and soils, and home gardeners have relied on them for years. Mm-hmm. However, they are hybrids, which isn't of itself bad, but if you're into a non-hybrid, I'm struggling with the word here. These are meant for tough skins, shipping to clients across the country, to buy in a grocery store across the way. The fruit itself is a little bit harder, a little bit different. And there's one thing with a hybrid, they are consistent. The fact of the matter is that you can't save the seeds from those. Mm. You can't necessarily have the same tomato year in, year out.
So a hybrid is where you've taken two separate varieties of tomatoes, or perhaps even more, and combined them together into a single plant genetically so that they are no longer capable of reproducing themselves.
No, a hybrid is simply a cross between two parents, which results in an offspring with particular qualities, and this is reproducible time and time and time again. In other words, there's two parent tomatoes out there that you don't even, I'm not even sure what they are, and they may not be recognizable as something, but when they're crossed in the flowers and the seeds are allowed to ripen within the tomato and the seeds are harvested, they are a very consistent child product.
And that child product
is the hybrid tomato.
And it's non-reproducible.
And you can't take that and cross that against itself and take the tomato seeds the next year and get anything like that tomato that you started with.
Okay.
So there's a difference between this and GMO, the genetically modified?
Genetically modified, they actually go in and take the genes from a non-related species sometimes and insert it into the genome of the plant. One of the most interesting ones that I ran across recently, I was up in Montana and Wyoming and Idaho this summer, and in Montana and Wyoming they were harvesting sugar beets, and being the smartphone enabled person I was on a 1200 mile trip to Wyoming, I simply sat in a seat and investigated sugar beets. And it's fascinating because the fields are wonderful looking. They're all monoculture, one leaf, one consistent for square miles plant. And it was incredible. And I started thinking about that, and I didn't realize that, according to the articles that I read, 98% of the sugar beets in the world are GMO now. Which means that the white sugar we get at the store has been a process of GMO. Even though the sugar molecule is what you're buying, it is a product of a GMO plant, specifically made for Roundup.
Oh, nice.
So that they can spray Roundup willy-nilly in their patches and not have any weeds. Otherwise, it's a hand hoe, hand sort, hand done operation that really is tough to mechanize. So they simply spray Roundup.
I don't know. You know, that's one of my soapboxes, which will
mine
probably
too.
Oh my gosh, yeah. But I'll tell you what, let's take a break. We'll come back and then we're going to talk a little bit more about you know what, Mark, just stick around. I've got so many questions. Folks, you're listening to Ready Radio on the Talk of the Town, 1160. Say it, Doug.
You're listening to News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.
There it is.
And now, back to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy.
We're back. You're listening to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy. We're here in studio with Mark today talking about GMOs, non-hybrid seeds, and heirloom seeds in anticipation of this beautiful sunny spring weather that we've been seeing around the metro Atlanta area this week. So, Mark, tell me some more about GMOs. We were talking about sugar beets and how they're basically all genetically modified at this point, 98%, you said. And what does that really mean, and how does that impact me? I mean, am I going to find genetically modified, you know, zucchini? Is it attack of the killer tomatoes time?
Well, I can tell you one of the things that I've found in my history. It was very serious at the time. I went to a professional meeting where we had chips and salsa and drinks. It was just one of those things we held at a warehouse in one of my clients' companies, and it was kind of interesting, and I partook of the chips and salsa, and at that time this was the first of the GMOs that had been released, and it had accidentally gotten into this brand of corn chip that we were eating, and I had a severe allergic reaction.
Oh wow.
It knocked me down for several days, and in retrospect my doctors were very concerned, and the only thing that we could think about that had changed in my diet and that coincidentally happened to the news was this brand of corn or tortilla chips had the first of the GMO corn in it. So I woke up after that and started looking, and it's amazing how much of our day-to-day foodstuffs are genetically modified organisms, GMO. Mm-hmm. And some of that's good. Some of that may be good, some of it may be bad, and some of it I just absolutely rebel against. It's probably safe to say that most people in the world have no idea what it is,
I think it's safe to say most people in the world have no idea what they're eating.
Mm-hmm. That's
I mean,
true.
We've mm-hmm. seen some stories just in the last couple of weeks about, you know, Subway's bread has a chemical in it that everyone is complaining about now.
Yeah, it was rubber or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you think
about the elasticity of the bread.
It's bread. Mm-hmm. It's bread. What could be in bread?
But lots.
Here we come. We find out that there's, you know, all sorts of additives, which brings us back full circle to talking about what can I grow so I know what's in it. But here I find out that there may be genetically modified organisms or hybrids that I don't necessarily want to be growing. How do I know that I'm getting something that's the way it's meant to be?
Well, you have to rely on either your own investigative skills or someone to do it for you. And that's the way this world has become. To be honest, I do a little bit of both. And I specifically rebel against certain companies now because they have taken over the food seed industry. You look at soybeans and the genetically modified organisms that the typical soybean has become is really ruled by one single company, and they've recently won several concessions from our Congress and the people that make the laws in this country, and also in the courts, where one farmer took seed that he used to be able to go down and buy at the co-op, planted it, and then was accused of planting a GMO crop. Well, the fine end of that is that you can't go to your feed store anymore and buy just feedstock and plant it like you used to, because the company that patented that genetically modified organism has control against you planting common seeds from your garden.
So what we're talking about here is somebody who had went and bought seed specifically to feed to swine or cattle or some sort of stock animal, and it was purposed for that, and then he took and planted it because it's the same seed whether you
Correct.
Plant it or feed it, and it grew, and then they said, hey, you can't do that. That seed wasn't purposed for planting. You didn't pay enough for it.
Correct. So, I did a little digging, and I discovered that my beloved Lemon Boy tomatoes are actually owned not by the company that I thought that originated them, but by that multinational seed and chemicals company.
So is there a good short answer, like a, I guess maybe a good company that, that our listeners could go to if they want like an heirloom seed, something that's not GMO, like a trustworthy brand, maybe even something that True Prep carries?
Yes.
What might that
and
be?
And that is a loaded question, but there are many out there, mm-hmm. and they're available at a lot of sources. You just have to know what you're buying. And the surprising thing is these companies that I'm speaking of also have taken and patented the names and trademarked the names that we are being familiar with. For instance, Brandywine Tomatoes. Mm-hmm. There has been an attempt to trademark Brandywine Pink Tomatoes, mm-hmm. or something that leads you to believe it's the same heirloom seed. Mm-hmm. So cutting through all this, you can buy from a seed source that tells you and promotes local seed grown, sharing, and growing without any type of GMO. And we carry the Baker Creek Heirloom Seed Company, mm-hmm. and it's right in their name. All of their stuff is heirloom seeds. All of it is bred true so that you can take the seeds from your prize-winning mortgage lifter tomato that you won at the fair with, and take it home and harvest the seeds from it, ferment the seed coats off, and plant it the next year, and you'll have a mortgage lifter tomato from that.
I have a quick question. What, when you say ferment the seed coats off, what do you mean?
Well, when you have tomatoes, they have a little jelly-type seed coat on the tomato, which when it dries, it prevents it from actually sprouting next year. It's a long-term storage thing. When you actually buy a seed for a tomato in a packet or save them yourself, you have to ferment that seed coat off into a little disgusting pile. And then when the seeds fall out of that because they've been fermented away from that seed coat, the seeds are perfect and sproutable.
Wow. I mean, there's so much that goes into this besides what you would think, you know, the ease of just going to Home Depot and getting a pre-sprouted whatever and planting it. Now, you've been mentioning heirloom over and over, and I understand the idea of an heirloom is something that you pass down from generation to generation, but what does it mean specifically when we're talking about seeds?
An heirloom seed is one that if you take a tomato and harvest the seeds from it, it's bred true to, and you'll get that same variety from that in the future as long as you don't introduce pollen from another plant.
Okay. So these are seeds that are reproducible and you get consistency in the plant.
Correct.
And are they specific to just tomatoes or are heirloom seeds available for all sorts of varieties of plants?
Everything ever planted was an heirloom seed until hybrids came along and GMOs after that.
Okay.
Yeah, so heirloom basically just means God made, basically, right?
Well, heirloom means that somebody took the time to take a plant that was wonderful in taste or wonderful in production and make it so that they could have it year to year. Instead of leaving it to chance crosses, they nurtured and kept a pure seed stock separate from everything else. So we see wonderful tomatoes in the Baker Creek catalog. There's several that are just outstanding that I like.
Like
Cherokee Purple tomatoes and the Black Crim tomatoes. These are a deep, dark, purpley pink with green shoulder tomato, and they are the most heavenly thing on a bacon, lettuce, cheese tomato sandwich you've ever had.
And what's the best way to, and kind of going back to the seeds again, what is the best way to store them?
I mean, seeds?
To store, yeah. I mean, like, how long do they store? If you were to purchase them, let's say that you were to purchase Baker Creek seeds at True Prep, or if you were to harvest them yourself, like, what's the best way to store them, and how long would they last?
I mean, can you vacuum pack these things? Should you throw in oxygen absorbers and desiccants?
No. First and foremost, you have to keep insects and mice away. Well, I was gone on my trip to Montana and Wyoming this year, my wife bundled up all my seed packets and put them out in the garage, where promptly I came home after several weeks and found mouse poops in my seeds.
Oh my.
So the seeds that I had bought last year with the intent of using a little bit, they were not quite usable anymore.
That's terrible to hear, although a little bit funny. I think we're coming up on a commercial break, folks. I know that this is very exciting stuff, and we're going to be back in a few minutes. You are listening to News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.
And now, back to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Mark in studio talking about seeds and planting. Amy and I have had some really great discussions while we were going through that last commercial break with Mark, talking about what he does to make sure that all those seeds that apparently got ravaged by mice this last year are ready for planting, and what to do to make sure that they're harvestable. So, Mark, you got your seeds. What do you do with them?
Well, I keep them safe, cool, out of the sun, and continually draw upon them throughout the entire season. I start out with those stupid little greenhouses, use the little Jiffy pots, poke it with a pencil, put two seeds in each little thing, and wait. And then with heat and a little bit of sunshine, they come up in about 3 days. Get a couple of seed leaves on them, and then I give them a light little fertilizing of some, and it's just a chemical fertilizer. I don't do anything special. Then simply they get two or three leaves beyond that, and I take them out and put them in a slightly larger pot and put them on my African violet rack and start to wait for that last day of frost.
Wow.
Here's a quick question for you, Mark. There are some of these seeds that you are starting early, but I've read somewhere that there's also seeds that you don't want to start and replant. So there's
right.
a couple of them you want to plant directly into the soil.
Well, for instance, onions. Onions is something that you should already have growing, and you should have sprouted those in December to get them going in our area.
Directly into your soil?
Well, you could do them into the soil, or you can grow them in mass in a pot like grass, then yank them out by the roots and put them directly into your garden as a little tiny seedling. I put chard directly in the garden, and I put it in pots. I also do all manner of cabbages and lettuces, both in pots. I do a little intense garden pot that I call scissor lettuce, that we get that delightful spring mix that we pay so much for in the grocery mm-hmm. store. That's just intensively grown lettuce seeds that we have from the Baker Creek catalog, to be honest.
So when you harvest that, can you cut it off and it grows back?
Yep. Just give it a haircut, and in a week it'll be back, and give it a haircut again. You'll have more lettuce than you know what to do with if you grow lettuce like that.
As long as you don't take your pot and set it out when it's freezing, as I've heard has happened on occasion. You mentioned the Baker Creek line and that this is something True Prep is carrying. Tell us a little bit about what varieties that you guys are going to have.
Well, we have a tremendous amount of tomatoes, and shockingly, the Baker Creek line did not have a lot of the red tomatoes that I have grown with and have a comfort zone with. So we've got pink, purple, some red, and especially yellow tomatoes, which are a whole new taste sensation because they're not as acidic. We've got the Brandywine yellow. We've got the Brandywine pink. I already mentioned Cherokee purple and peppers. We have some reliable red ripening bell peppers, several different varieties. That old California Wonder pepper is that nice red pepper that we get every year, and it's wonderful, sweet, and tasty. And a green pepper is just not ripe yet. A red pepper is ripe. And then we've got a tremendous difference of hot peppers. We've got the traditional cayenne pepper. We've got some really hot habaneros. We've got some impossibly hot Trinidad scorpion seeds to plant. And these are a wonderful different taste sensation. Each one of them is different, and they're all heritage seeds. That's right out of the Baker Creek catalog.
That's really cool. Besides peppers and tomatoes, are there some other, more garden plants that we...
I always plant cucumbers directly in the ground. I always plant okra in the ground. I always plant all the squashes directly in the ground. There's also a couple of sweet melons that have done really well that I also plant directly in the ground. And the time for that, especially corn and some of these other things, is coming up. It's not quite until our ground temperatures get up into the 70 degree range that we want to plant those. Carrots is something that I've always put in the ground, and people really are rather taken aback to see a purple carrot come out of my garden, or a red one, or a yellow one, or a white one. There's a tremendous difference in carrots, in flavors and shocking colors. Really fun and interesting.
Now, what about one of the things that I missed when I was up in Alaska was kale and mustard greens. Have we missed the boat on those? Or
unfortunately, I usually plant those back in October and everything, and really my garden was hit by 3 degrees this year, and all of my coal crops are gone.
Oh, goodness.
3 degrees was just a little bit much for them, and I couldn't keep them going. We have to start planting them coming up, and I'd prefer to plant them directly in the ground if I can. And we haven't lost it yet, but we will have a very hard time bringing full-term cabbages and stuff to term if we get a very hot early spring.
Okay. And one of the things that, you know, I'll enjoy about the variety is that you can have all sorts of different things in your garden. But like you said, you know, if you have a bad year, then we can look back at other, you know, solutions for people who are trying to be prepared for an emergency, such as, you know, long-term storable foods like Mountain House or Gourmet Reserves, or even just having some extra canned vegetables from, you know, your favorite store like Publix. Then you would have the ability to keep a little bit more on the table if you did have a crop failure.
We have a tremendous farmers market area around here that there is a tremendous amount of really locally grown food if you care to look for locally grown food. They have a tremendous Kennesaw. There's a farmer, a market farmer that I get a lot from there. And Kennesaw, I think on Tuesday mornings, has a wonderful little farmer's market with all these wonderful tomatoes, peppers, everything that's grown locally. But you have to be careful because some of it isn't grown locally. You get Florida peaches and stuff in there, and It just go look at what you're doing and note the local season of what you should be seeing around. And the farmers generally have it in good quantities and exceptional taste.
Know your farmer, know where your food is coming from farm to fork. You should know what you're buying and why.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know I, for one, am going to practice, I think, this spring and summer. And I'm going to, because I'm, like I said at the beginning of the show, I don't do this very well. And I mean, I've grown some things, but I'm definitely going to practice. And know your farmer. It'd be awesome if it's you, right? If you're the farmer.
Well, we've actually got a meetup.com meeting coming up where we're going to have this week's is beekeeping, but in 2 weeks at our place, we're going to have how do you plant those seeds and those little things.
Mark, where do you guys get together?
We get together right there at the True Prep in Marietta.
Okay, what
and
time?
And it's 7 o'clock on Thursday. This next one is what, the first week of, is the 6th, I believe?
Now, where can they go? Where can someone go to check and see dates and times and topics?
Well, you can join meetup.com or you can give us a call at True Prep.
Okay, great. And I believe there's a meetup group going on over at Roswell as well. And so go online, give them a call, I'll give you all the information.
Do you have to join meetup.com to come?
Theoretically, they want you to because they want to market to you, but we would just be happy if you showed up to learn something.
Is there a cost for that?
No cost at True Prep.
Okay.
Now, let me ask you this. What about classes? Are you teaching any classes on gardening?
Yes, we have a lot of classes coming up. I'm not aware of exactly when they are scheduled, but we have a tremendous amount of just container gardening, how to do lettuce in containers, how to do virtually everything in containers or in the ground. One of my things is my garden's a 40 by 60 tiered step garden with good soil in it, and that's what you have to do. You have to plant for the soils you've got and the climate and the sunshine.
Well, Mark, we really appreciate you joining us today to talk about these seeds and planting and nice spring topics. This has been a fun show, and we'd like to thank all of our listeners for tuning in this week. We will be back next Saturday at 5 o'clock. You're listening to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy. Hope you guys have a great week on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.
You've been listening to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy. It's emergency preparedness for everyone. Brought to you by TruPrep. For all your prepping needs, visit TruPrep online at truprep.com or visit a TruPrep store in Roswell or Marietta. Tune in each week as Doug and Amy get you ready for anything that comes your way. Ready Radio, Saturday evenings at 5, only on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.